You're listening to Episode 8 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, November 19th, 2014.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and I'm here with my fellow host, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
Off with their heads.
All right, guys. Guess what? We're on episode 8, which means it is officially our last week being in the new section on iTunes. We graduate to the, I guess, old or
that's a random number.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Established.
But 8 weeks.
We know everything there is to know about podcasting right now.
Yeah, I'm adding it to my resume.
Mm-hmm.
You should.
I didn't even have to go to Lou's workshop.
Shout out to Lou there. Also, another anniversary. How did you guys celebrate the anniversary, 25th anniversary of Little Mermaid this week? Big parties?
I celebrate Little Mermaid. Every day, so it really wasn't any different for me, but...
Did you break out your big fin thing you put on?
My purple body paint, my wig.
Bind your legs.
Yeah, you know, I can't go around near children when I'm in that, since the restraining order, but it's nice. I parade around the neighborhood, so...
I don't think I celebrated anything. I think Under the Sea played on my random playlist, but I didn't know it was the anniversary, so we'll say that. Yay.
I mean, you've had a lot on your mind the last week, so I think you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget something else that's very important that's happening. If you're listening, it's yesterday, but for us recording, it's tomorrow, and that is the 86th birthday of Mickey Mouse tomorrow.
Hey, happy birthday, Mickey.
Happy birthday, Mickey.
He's so old. He looks so young.
He's got some work done, a little plastic surgery, I'm sure, but we just want to remember, as Walt said, it was all started by a mouse.
You know what? This is so random, but I was watching a Charlie Chaplin movie last week, and they go into his office, and there's a Mickey Mouse doll on the desk. And I'm like, man, he only had to have been about 10 years old. It was so strange seeing it, because it wasn't like a prop put there on purpose. It was just like a prop of the time, if that makes sense.
So yeah. Was it the creepy Mickey Mouse?
He was pretty creepy. His nose was like a cone, you know?
Yes.
It was a little creepy, but still, it was Mickey.
If you want to frighten your children... Look up pictures of Mickey and Minnie from the opening of Disneyland in 1955, and just
where their
heads
are to scale.
They, from what I understand, they didn't have money for costumes at that point, so they borrowed those from the Ice Capades. But they are creepy.
They're messed
up. Just print them out and hide them in random places around your house for your children to find.
When we went to the Walt Disney Family Museum in San Francisco, I actually took pictures of those pictures. So I'll post some on the show notes so you can kind of see what we're talking about.
That's a great idea. The fun will never end with those.
Yeah. They look like scary Easter Bunny photos people put on Facebook.
I don't think I'm familiar with those.
Oh. They're
pretty frightening. What you're talking about. Like creepy Easter Bunny pictures. Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah. Oh.
They didn't know how to make costumes very well a long time ago. We've come a long way.
Well, Matt, it's been a week. How's Dad, Mom, and Baby doing?
Everybody's doing great. We came home from the hospital with no infections and no pneumonia, and everybody's doing well. Good. Not sleeping very much at night, but, you know, that's to be expected.
Can you tell, like, you know, the name and those details? Do you want to share those?
Oh, her name is Anna Lane Price. She was born on November 4th.
I hate to break it to you, but you messed it up because Anna is the second daughter.
Anna.
First daughter is supposed to be Elsa.
Well, she's not Anna. She's Anna.
She's Elsa.
She's Elsa.
So you did do it right.
Yeah. No. People keep asking that, you know, and now I feel it's just like, no.
She's American.
Yeah. Anna. She's not Arendellian.
Nice.
Or Norwegian, apparently.
Apparently.
We were on the same wavelength there.
At what point during this process was she placed in the Walt Disney Pavilion? Explain that. I saw the pictures.
When she was born, she had some issues breathing on her own. She had swallowed some schmutz up inside, you know, stuff. And she
Is
came
that
out.
Term?
And, That is the medical term, schmutz, meaning baby poop in utero. So
I prefer schmutz.
Yeah, she'd swallowed some and came out not breathing very well, so they hooked her up to all kinds of stuff. And about 2 hours after she was born here in where we live in Florida, which is about an hour south of Orlando, they flew her up to Orlando just to kind of keep an eye on infections and run some IVs and just keep her in better. It wasn't like it's a better hospital, better suited to what they needed. So,
and the name of the wing of the new hospital was the Walt Disney Pavilion.
The Walt Disney Pavilion. Apparently it's been there for a long time, but it was a surprise to me. And I arrived and they're like, oh, she's in the Walt Disney Pavilion. And
is going to be okay.
I know. They had a Hakuna Matata playing and big old statue of Baloo. It was like being in Disney World, except a hospital.
Right.
So when is her? Yeah, it's like Disney World, but not fun.
Yeah.
When is her first Walt Disney World trip going to come?
If I have my way, which is doubtful, it might be in mid-December. Oh. I think I want to try to get her up there for a very Merry Christmas party. But again, it depends on how well she's doing and how mom thinks she's doing enough to get out and be around tons and tons of people.
Yeah. Well, we are glad everyone is okay and that you are now a dad of a lovely
proud
little girl.
Proud daddy. Yeah.
All right. Well, today on today's show, we're going to be discussing some of the current rumors swirling around Walt Disney World. There are always rumors, but we're going to talk about some big ones today. But before that, Matt, you heard from a listener, and she gave us a trip report, so I'm going to send it over to you and let you be our official email reader. So take it away.
We got an email this week from a listener named Beth, who sent us a little trip report, but she also had a few questions for us. So what I'm going to do with this is just read you guys the different sections that she sent, because she's kind of giving a report and then kind of asking us a question in return. So number one, she said, just to preface, my mom is quite the Disney veteran. She is a walking encyclopedia of anything having to do with Disney. And if you question her instincts, well, off with your head. How appropriate. So she chose Saturday the 8th to visit the Magic Kingdom because the crowd level was at a 4. And she's saying according to a crowd calendar. Well, let me tell you, the crowd level was not a 4. It was more like an 8.5. The park was so packed that we got about 1/3 of the things done that we wanted to. We stayed all day long. Now, I know that it's Disney World, and it's a Saturday, and all signs point to it being a busy day. But when you depended on the crowd calendar to give you an accurate estimate of what days are best to visit, it kind of sucks when it turns out to be completely inaccurate. So here's the question. Based on that report, how do you guys feel about using crowd calendars?
I've looked at them before. I've never paid for them. I know that the main one I'm thinking of, I think you have to pay for now. It used to be free, and I don't want to burn too many bridges.
It's a subscription-based system.
Right. That's touring plans. I do want to give a shout-out to them, because I know people who use them and have liked it. So.
Yep. Never mind, and then I won't crap on them.
The free one I have seen is Undercover Tourist. So those are the two main ones that I've seen and know about.
Well, from what I've found using them, it's all luck of the draw anyways. I mean, they're basing their information on last year's date, which, you know, as you know, dates and days change. So what November the 8th could have been a Thursday last year, now, you know, or the leap year changes all that.
I don't think they go by the date, like the number. I think they do go by the day and the pattern for the week.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought they went by the actual date.
Algorithms and all kinds of crazy things to try to make it as accurate as possible. At least the ones you pay for do.
That's why Saturday and Sunday are like consistently more crowded based on the calendar.
Yeah. Huh.
I always thought it was actually by the actual date. But okay.
No, I will say I don't use them to base when I'm going to go. Like, I usually already have vacation in mind, but I do check it just to kind of get an idea of what it's going to be like. But even then, when I go, I don't expect it to be exactly like that, just because I know things always change. And probably the longer we use these types of calendars, won't it start to shift just because so many people use them and try to do the least crowded days, you know?
Yeah, that is grows that much. Yeah.
X factor. Another thing is, like, this past week, the weekend she went, I believe, what date did she say she was there?
It was the day, it was the 8th.
Was that Veterans Day? Was Veterans Day after that?
Yeah, it was that coming Tuesday.
Wait, I'm trying to find the date as we... Yeah, it was the 8th, Saturday the 8th of November, well, so yeah.
Anytime I found that when you go on a weekend that has a holiday, even though the holiday was on Tuesday, and schools in Florida were out, you know, it's going to be more crowded.
Yeah.
That's true, and there could be any number of things that this is the case all the time. You know, I think these folks that do the crowd calendars do their due diligence to try to keep up with large conventions and large things that are in town. You never know what things are going on in and around Orlando that are also going to bump up the crowd levels.
Right. But yeah, I think in general, crowd calendars, you can look at them and get a good idea of what it's going to be like.
I'll tell you, a more accurate crowd calendar that is not a crowd calendar is simply to look up the old school patterns of when people do what. And you know Saturday is just going to be a busy day at the Magic Kingdom. Sunday is a busy day at the Magic Kingdom. And then, you know, go from there. Also look for extra magic hours in the morning that boost crowd levels. And also when they have them in the evenings, you know, by the afternoon time, if they're resort guests, everybody's herding over to that park that has the evening, well, if it's the Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios, the extra magic hours in the evening.
Well, another thing, let me just tag on this. Another idea as far as school goes, just always assume that there's going to be heavier crowds and have your plan based on heavier crowds instead of having your plan based on lower crowds, and then you'll be defaulted to the best option, to the worst case scenario.
I think we're going to get to one of those questions. This is a little lengthy paragraph, so I'll try to hurry through. Okay. To get to the question. Number two, I know how much you guys have expressed your disdain for all things Frozen.
That's not well, let's qualify that for a minute.
I just rewatched the movie and laughed out loud several times.
I like the movie. I like the music. I think our disdain was for Frozen being cram-holed into Norway.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's all.
And the overexposure of it right now, it's just everywhere.
And Olaf being everywhere. Yeah.
No, I actually think it's going to be a classic and will be a classic forever and ever and ever.
All right. Sorry, you struck a nerve there, Beth. But for a 3-year old,
how dare you?
Yeah, accuse us. But for a three-year-old girl, the Frozen stuff. It's a dream come true to meet Queen Elsa. We had plans to go straight to the Elsa meet and greet at Princess Fairytale Hall, but the line was never less than 90 minutes long throughout the entire day. I would say you were there on a good day if it was 90 minutes was the max. Yeah. Seeing as though we only had one day to enjoy the park and to do as much as possible, we bailed on that plan. We thought, oh, hey, the parade, Queen Elsa and Anna. Anna, that's my little girl. The parade, Queen Elsa and Anna will be there, and that she'll at least be able to see them there. Yeah, not quite, she says. We got to the center of the Magic Kingdom at a decent time to enjoy the parade, only to realize there was no way we could get an upfront viewing for anything unless we had a fast pass for it. So here we are, at least 20 feet away from the action, struggling to see who's on the next float. I mean, is it too much to ask to go back to a first-come, first-served basis for us lowly park visitors that aren't already staying on property and got last-minute tickets? Okay, we'll come back to that. We were only left with the fast pass option for the Tomorrowland Speedway and the Astro Orbiter. I'd say this is the biggest problem I've had with Disney in recent years. They've gradually made it harder for the average Joe to enjoy the full Disney park experience without paying extra for it. Put an asterisk there. But I digress. Actually, let's just stop and talk about the fast pass, because she's talking about, I don't know how last minute they got their tickets and planned their trips, but if all that was left on the fast pass option was Tomorrowland Speedway and Astro Orbiter, it sounds like they must have planned their trip like that morning.
I didn't even know those two attractions had fast passes.
That should tell you about Tomorrowland right there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but unfortunately this FastPass Plus system is the way that the trend that's moving through, that there is – they're moving away from this last-minute trip, just wing it kind of a movement. That's not what the park guests are looking for. They're looking for the people who are going to be there for a week, who are going to invest in researching and putting the effort and time into doing the FastPasses. So unfortunately that's a trend that it sounds like, you know, you all didn't – move in that direction, and that's fine. You know, I think you still can have a good trip without it. But as far as meeting Elsa, there's no other way except FastPass Plus.
there's the question about, or there's the disdain over the assumption that the regular, what did she say, the average Joe cannot enjoy the full Disney park experience without paying extra for it. Now, I'm going to say that you don't have to pay extra to use the Fast Pass Plus system, but you get your time to reserve cut in half. So resort guests who stay on Disney property can make Fast Pass reservations, 3 per day, up to 60 days in advance. If you're not a resort guest, you're taking one of these last-minute trips, you're staying outside, you only have 30 days. Now, I've done that a few times and been relatively successful if you snag some of the good ones before 20 days out. So that might have helped. But you don't have to pay extra for it, right? I mean, that's
right. No. Fair. And I don't know. You know, I've never tried to use FastPass Plus as far as like a last-minute thing goes. But if I wanted to meet Elsa and Anna using FastPass Plus, get the app on your phone and just keep trying every few minutes, every hour. Because
you
people
do
cancel.
Have to get those like 60 days out.
I'm sure.
At least right now, you got to get the Anna and Elsa meet and greet.
Yeah,
like
but
midnight on 60 days.
Yeah, and it can be like restaurant reservations though, and that people cancel. So you might be able to snag one by just refreshing the app and. Keeping trying to look. But.
And they are going to give the advantage to people that are staying on property. And I think they should. I mean, it helps their business. And you know, I like the perks if I'm staying there that I have first dibs at well, not restaurants, but at the fast passes and things. Okay, so that's fast pass. Let's move on. Okay, she said, one last disappointing thing was at the end of our Elsa-less day, we were so excited to see the Wishes Lighting Spectacular show with, you guessed it, Elsa. They do offer that to park guests before the Very Merry Christmas show, apparently, because it was scheduled to take place the night that we were there. Unfortunately, after waiting 15 minutes past the showtime in a sea of cranky people, an announcement came over the system stating that the Elsa show had been canceled for the night due to inclement weather. They then lit up the castle quickly to the Let It Go song, and that was it. Apparently, Disney's definition of inclement weather is far different than mine. There were literally 4 drops of rain that hit my head, and it completely subsided before the announcement was even made. So, needless to say, we didn't get to really see Elsa much. Hmm. Maybe next time.
Well, that's disappointing.
That is disappointing. There's no answer or anything that you can say to make that any better, because cancellation is a cancellation. The only thing I would have suggested is, if you would have gone by guest services and not, you didn't have to be a total witch about it. You could just, you know, casually mention how disappointed you were. Not that you would be. Anyways, I would have gone by guest services maybe and just mentioned it. And you never know. They could have given you some kind of perk, or they could have just told you that's the way life is. But it never hurts to ask.
Yeah. She did leave off with 3 positive things. I won't read them. I'll just summarize. They got to meet a lot of the characters. They enjoyed their time at 1900 Park Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Which we talked about a few – our second episode, I think you guys talked about it.
Yes.
Their little girl, Layla, got to meet Pooh, Tigger, Mary Poppins, Alice, and the Mad Hatter at different places, so she enjoyed that. She said 2 words, crack juice. Apparently the drink at Boma was one of their favorites. Some kind of old guava juice, orange juice mixture. So I got to give that a try.
They packed in a lot if they ate at Boma and 1600 Park Fair, which are in resorts.
Yeah, that's unless maybe they ate there the night before or something.
Yeah. It sounds like their mom knows what she's doing, except for using the crowd calendar. So
anytime her mother wants to come on the podcast and challenge one of us to a Disney knowledge contest, she's more than welcome to come on.
Yeah.
I do not accept that challenge. I'll let you guys duke it out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, ends on a good note. They enjoyed their time. Very memorable. Favorite ride for the little girl was Dumbo. She said, thanks so much for letting me share about our trip. So if anybody out there has trip reports or questions about trips, or you're planning a trip or whatever, staying inside, outside, just give us an email. Drop us an email at comments@madchatters.net anytime.
That's right. Thanks, Matt. And thank you, Beth. All right. When we come back, we're going to play a game. So stay tuned.
It's time for another Mad Chatter game! I'm your game master, Jeremy, and joining me today is Mad Chatter Derek and Mad Chatter Matt. Mad Chatter Matt!
You didn't leave time for the crowd to applaud.
Sorry. Tell your mother thank you for that applause. And now, I believe Matt is the undefeated champion in our game records thus far, and we'll see if that continues today. Now, let me say, I went back and listened to the last game we played, and there was a little controversy because of the way my computer messed up about who rang in first, and clearly on the podcast I sound like an idiot because there's like 2 seconds. Anyways, so this
you gotta
is
gonna call it like you hear it.
Yes.
That's right, no matter how stupid I sound. Today we're going to play Closest to the Pin. So I'm going to ask a question that is a number. The answer is a number. And you have to guess what number you think the answer is, and whoever is closest wins. And so Matt is going to answer first because he's the reigning champion, although hopefully your answer won't be influenced by the other one. Okay, are we ready?
Can we go over and still be closest?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. I hate that rule.
Yeah, this is not The Price is Right.
Oh, I bid $1.
First one. Walt Disney World is the largest single-site employer in the United States. Approximately, how many employees does Walt Disney World employ?
3,600. Oh, 3,600.
3,600?
Yeah.
Okay.
My answer is zero because they employ cast members. Not employees.
Oh, shut your face.
You win.
Okay, let's see. My guess is 11,500.
The correct answer is 62,000 employees. Derek,
good
you are the closest.
That's like 2 stadiums of people.
Yeah. Well, you figure all the parks, all the resorts, all the behind-the-scenes people... You name it. Downtown Disney.
Landscaping, presidents, managers.
We talking about, like, downtown Disney resorts?
Yeah, Walt, the whole resort. Walt Disney World Resort. Everything on property. Well, maybe not those resorts, but even without those resorts, that's a lot of people that take to run those things.
Okay, Derek wins.
All right, Derek, since you got that one right, you go first now.
All right. It's like a punishment. To go first. But okay, I'll take it.
According to the reputable websites and research I did today, and I made sure to look up reputable sites.
Good.
How many pairs of sunglasses are turned in at the Walt Disney World Resort to the lost and found on an average day? Now, this is the whole resort. On the average day, roughly how many pairs of sunglasses are turned in?
Huh, that's a good question.
Thank you, today.com, for their...
There
for
you go. Question. I will say 39 pairs.
Matthew?
I'll say 1,200 pair.
The correct answer is 200 pairs.
Oh.
Derek gets the point again.
Now, I was thinking all the resort. The hotels and all the water parks.
But 1,200 people losing their sunglasses?
I'm not good with numbers. Derek got this one every time. Hey, I lost my sunglasses at the wave pool at Typhoon Lagoon one time. I came up out of the water just in time to see another old man putting my sunglasses on his head.
No.
Jessica and I both saw it. My wife, Jessica, we both saw it. I was like, that guy just put on my sunglasses.
Did you rip him off?
No, I didn't say anything. He was old.
Well, that's at least better than what happened to me at the wave pool at Typhoon Lagoon. And someone's used Band-Aid stuck to my leg. But anyways.
Ew.
Did you just steal my story? That happened to me, and I wrote about it on our blog, where a hand came up, and it was on my finger.
I'm pretty sure it happened to me, too.
Leg.
I know, but...
Yeah, it was on my leg.
Okay. There's used Band-Aids everywhere. On an average day at Typhoon Lagoon, how many used Band-Aids get stuck to appendages?
The whole thing is a giant toilet, so it's amazing that's all that happens. Okay, number 3. Derek goes first again. What was the price of the adult admission ticket... to the Magic Kingdom on opening day, October the 1st, 1971.
So wait, they had to pay admission and then they had to buy tickets for the rides?
Yes. There was an admission cost just to get into the park.
But it was directly relational, you know.
I will say $1.50.
All right, Matt?
I'm going to say $1.75.
The correct answer is $3.50. Matt is correct.
That seems really high.
Point for you, Matthew. Okay, next question.
So
Matt,
high.
You go first.
Oh, now it's $100.
I know. I would give anything to pay $3 to get in that part.
Oh, man.
I would give $3, actually.
What is the height of the Tree of Life in Disney's Animal Kingdom in feet?
I'm going to say 138 feet.
Okay. Derek?
I was going to say 38 feet.
Just 38?
Well, if you're giving me a chance to change my answer, then no, I don't
never
mean 30.
Never mind. Never mind. 38 feet. The correct answer is 145 feet. Matt gets the point.
Hey, well,
you have a hard time with feet.
With his 200-foot-tall stunts at Fantasmic and the 30-foot-tall...
38 feet?
Yeah,
really?
It's like almost four stories. I didn't think it was that tall.
No, it's 145 feet.
Okay, I get it. I'm an idiot. Let's move on.
Okay. Matt, you get to go first on this one. Okay. On Cinderella's castle, how many gargoyles are there?
I'm going to say 36.
Derek?
I, for the life of me, can't picture a single gargoyle on that castle. Where are they?
They're on there.
Like on the turrets and stuff?
Uh-huh.
You just have to Google it when we're done, not right now.
Okay. I will guess, obviously, 25.
The correct answer is 13. Derek gets that one correct.
13.
They're not like Hunchback of Notre Dame gargoyles.
Okay, that's
they're
what
just
I was picturing.
Like gargoyle-looking heads.
Okay.
Yeah. If you Google them, you'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I will, yeah.
Okay, according to Walt Disney World's website, this is their website, so if you disagree, take it up with them. On property, how many quick service restaurants are there in Walt Disney World? Derek goes first.
67.
Matt?
I'm going to say 75.
Ugh.
The correct answer is 112. Matt, you are correct.
Your guess was totally influenced by mine.
Yeah.
Next time we'll do like on Big Brother where you have to write it down and
exactly.
then show it.
And show it to our listeners.
Show it to
on the video podcast that doesn't exist.
To me, the game master. Last question here. Ooh, and we're tied 3-3.
Say that number again. I'm sorry, I missed it.
112.
Wow, that's a lot. And I thought I highballed it with my answer.
Yeah, I had to go through and count them because they list them all. Because if you go to their website, they have all the quick services,
sure.
all the full, table services, and things. So, anywho, it's a fun list to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder how they distinguish between like just like a snack counter and a quick service, or do they? Like the Sleepy Hollow Inn, is that considered like quick service?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't remember seeing it, but I do know they put on in parentheses after each restaurant if they serve breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So maybe they can consider that by
like is drink voila a quick service?
Drink voila. They just serve drinks,
and they say voila when they get it to you.
If you're like me, I have a shot of Jack and a cigarette for breakfast, so that could be my fixers.
That is disgusting.
Last question. Matt goes first. In the Country Bears Jamboree.
I'm sorry, what?
Say that again?
In the Country Bear Jamboree. I messed it up. In the Country Bear Jamboree, how many animatronic bears are in the show? Not moose, not buffalo.
Okay, I have a clarifying point that you may or may not know the answer to. Are we talking about individual characters represented or actual animatronic figures?
Characters represented.
Okay. Hold on, just some tabulation. I'm going to say 20.
20?
20.
Derek?
20.
It's been years since I've seen this. I was going to guess 5. I'm guessing that's not correct.
The correct answer is 18.
Oh, good guess, Matt.
Matt is the closest.
I blocked the other 13 out of my mind, I guess.
And it was a narrow victory, but a victory nonetheless. Our undefeated champion of Mad Chatter Games, Mad Chatter Matthew!
Hello.
Clap, clap. Good job.
Join us next time. Same Mad Chatter time, same Mad Chatter place.
Different winner.
You like my announcer voice?
I do. It's very good. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking some of the hottest rumors right now at Walt Disney World, so keep listening. As you know, Walt Disney World is a very large place, and it is one of the most visited places in the entire world, probably, but definitely the United States. And because of that, it's always changing, it's always expanding, taking things away, adding things. Some of those things they announce ahead of time, and some of those things they kind of leave you to speculate, which is what fan sites and podcasts like we do. And so on this podcast, we're going to talk about some of the rumors that are being raised right now about Disney World and what's being added, what might be coming soon. And we're going to discuss whether we think those are logical or preposterous and what we think about them. So let's start in the Magic Kingdom. And we'll start a little bit small. But as you know, the Haunted Mansion got the store Memento Mori, which is devoted all to Haunted Mansion merchandise. So the rumor is that this is going to become kind of a trend where stores are going to pop up all around the parks with specialty merchandise devoted to certain attractions. And there's a shop right now that used to be the Island Supply Company, and it might still be, but it's in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom, and it's been closed for some time. So the talk is maybe that Jungle Cruise merchandise is coming, Tiki Room, both. What do you guys think?
Yes, this is exactly what they're testing out with the Centerpiece Collection.
Yes, at Downtown Disney.
At the co-op store. Well, that's the whole purpose of that store, is to test merchandise and see what will sell. And you've already seen the merchandise from the Haunted Mansion stuff go into their store. So obviously all that Polynesian stuff, the glasses, the plates, the Adventureland cups, the Tiki Room sign, that's probably all going in this particular store.
I think it's great because the fan community for so long has been wanting park-specific, attraction-specific merchandise. And up for the last few years, all you could find really was like pins and Vinylmation if you really wanted something very specific. And so I'm really excited that this stuff is selling. Some of it looks great, some of it looks ugly, but that's just people's tastes vary. Mm. And as long as it sells well, I think they'll produce it. I'm just so tired of everything being so generic, and every shop you go in has the same generic Disney Park snow globe, Disney Park bag.
Well, they've done attraction and park-specific stuff in the past, like the collection that I have of like attraction vehicles. And, you know, they've done pins and stuff, but it seems like they have never done everyday decorative and practical items like this that are specific, like pillows and cups and stuff that people will buy and put in their homes.
Yep, salt shakers.
Yeah.
Well, they sold a lot of this already at Disneyland and, like you said, at the co-op in Downtown Disney and Disney World. But my favorite pieces for Adventureland are the ceramic elephants that are themed after the Jungle Cruise that are in the water there. And they did not have them in Disneyland. And I was so sad because I was going to snatch them up.
The salt and pepper shakers?
No. I think they're just...
They're
just decorative figurines.
Oh, it's the trash cans they've made into salt and pepper shakers.
They do have trash cans, salt and pepper shakers.
Those are great.
I like those as well.
I would have all of them. In fact, I haven't been to the co-op yet. But if I go and they're still there... I mean, I will have the only house that has 8 salt and pepper shakers for one person.
No, it's a little too expensive for me, but I also like the plate that comes with the 4 different dipping bowls, one for each bird in the Tiki Room. It was a lot bigger in person than I thought, just based on the pictures.
Now, I'm going to tell you one of the items that irks me. Now, I guess we're off topic here. I'm talking about this merchandise in the co-op, the theme park specific. There's one... It's one of the glass it's one of the glass mugs that have the attraction posters on either side. And this one says Tomorrowland. And I think on one side it says Space Mountain. And on the other side it says 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. But I'm confused because 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was in Fantasyland.
Oh.
submarine voyage in Disneyland is in Tomorrowland.
Right.
So, Disney, help me out. Correct me or something.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up.
Something's weird there.
Yeah. Someone should be fired.
Yep. Misprint.
Okay, so it sounds like we're pretty sure that's coming and we're okay with it.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know for sure it's coming, but the trend seems that it's coming and it would be nice to have.
Yeah. And like you said, Matt, if it's selling in the co-op, why wouldn't they want to make a whole store of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, well, let's move from Magic Kingdom over to Epcot. Soarin is one of those attractions that if you don't get a fast pass for early on, you're probably not going to get on without waiting at least an hour. And so talk has been for some time that they are going to add a third theater, because right now there are two, and apparently construction is taking place right behind it, and they've titled the construction project, quote, Project 87. And there are 87 mm-hmm. seats in the Soarin Theater, so talk seems to be that they're adding a third theater for, what's the word for how many people can fit in there?
Capacity?
Capacity. That's it. Yes, I'm an editor. Anyway, so what do you guys think about that one?
It's definitely needed because Soarin, as you know, it's not a fast line. The queue is miserable. And if you're only seating 87 people in two theaters, I mean, how long is Soarin? That's
minutes,
like 10 minutes?
3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah. Is it only 3 minutes?
It's not that long.
Yeah, really, I think I thought it was like 5. But
I think it's like a 5-6 minute show. So you figure only 160 people, 170 people every 6 minutes. That's not moving a lot of people through the line quickly at all.
I've stood in that queue. I know that you were not moving quickly through that line.
And I mean, it could be worse. You could be outside. At least you're indoors and in the AC, but still. So a third theater would be welcomed. Also, that would be welcomed and hopefully would be a part of this is if they update the projection to digital.
Oh, good Lord.
Absolutely.
Because the screen and the films...
It's awful. It's almost embarrassing.
It is very blurry, and you have the spots in the film that,
it's like a dead bug on one.
Yeah. Disneyland was even worse. We pointed out that big old spot. It is older, yeah.
But yeah.
It is kind of funny that they put in California first and then just made an exact replica, even though the ride is soaring over California.
Yeah.
I just always thought that was strange. But there is... speaking of rumors, there is talk that... for like the last year that they've been filming a new video like all over the world.
Now, that's not rumored. They have been filming.
Okay.
For it. I think that's established that is what they're filming for. Whether or not they're doing the same one in California as they are here or where it is or if they're doing specific shows, that's where the rumor is. If they're doing like a around the world or just a California and just a Florida or what have
you. Well, if you do it just a Florida one, and I love the state I live in, but we don't really have anything exciting to fly over as far as like mountains go or anything like that. I mean, you can fly over the Everglades.
Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain.
That's a mountain range.
Yeah, fly over them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that you say that, Matt, they are filming that because Shanghai Disneyland is getting soaring over the horizon or something like that.
So I bet theirs will be a lot better.
Well, why don't they just use the same footage?
I'm sure they probably are. I mean, the speculation is like I don't know if this will be the title, but just a soaring over the world kind of thing with Egypt and England and parts of Asia and everything like that all mixed into one big grand thing. Oh, what if they randomized it? That would be pretty cool.
If they what?
Like Star Tours where it's random every time. It could be a different show, different destination.
Maybe like entire shows are the same, but different theaters might show different ones at different times. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be
That's
nice.
Not a rumor. That's a great thing that would be good.
That's Imagineering. That's armchair Imagineering.
Right.
Homemade. Even if they don't do a new show, I think just upgrading the film to digital would be a huge improvement.
Absolutely. And maybe 3D?
No.
I mean, you kind of get the 3D effect because you're brought up right by the screen.
No, but you get that. I thought it should be 3D from the get-go because you got it's built in. I mean, you get your flight goggles, for crying out loud. You know, and they got the ones that stay on your head for Star Tours. They'll stay on your head for Soarin.
Yeah, I guess you could do 3D.
You just add to it. And maybe that helped block out feet above your head, you know?
The problem with the 3D is, for me, the screen is always so much darker when you have 3D. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't think it needs 3D. We're not Universal.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm just kidding.
Take that, Shrek 4D.
Oh.
That thing is awful, by the way. Side note.
All right, so there's Soren. Hopefully, at least a new screen. And I'm thinking if they hadn't done the new screen by now, then surely they're just waiting until something more than just a new screen comes. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. If something else wasn't coming, they could just replace the screen, you know?
Well, next year will be the 10-year anniversary, so hopefully that will be some kind of a jumping-off point of, hey, a new show after 10 years, Soren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're going to build one more theater, you might as well build two more. And
see, I think the same thing. It's kind of funny that wasn't the whole purpose of FastPass Plus to make it so rides like Soren weren't overwhelmed with people and it kind of spread out to the other attractions, and now they're like, well, that didn't work.
Well, what if they're doing the thing, that they're doing with Toy Story? The rumor, let's not go over there yet, but the rumor about putting a third track in and one of the tracks being FastPass only.
Yeah.
Or maybe even the whole attraction. There's been rumors of whole attractions going reservation FastPass only.
Yeah. I mean, you can try it, I guess.
I like the idea of the one theater out of three being a FastPass only theater, but mm-hmm. I don't think you can do the whole attraction FastPass only.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And in the long run, I mean, Soren is a particular example, but if we start having to make just highly unrealistic copies of things just to fit people in because the FastPass system, at some time you need to reevaluate your system.
Yeah.
And if we got to build four of these blasted things to fit everybody in it, we might need to scale back on something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, let's talk to a little bit about armchair Imagineering and what can you do in that queue to make it better, because those screens are awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And granted, people participate because there's nothing else to do and you don't get cell phone reception in there. At least I don't, AT&T.
I remember. But you go ahead.
Something needs to be done. I think, this is my opinion, Take the Timon and Pumbaa Circle of Life film, show it on those screens to watch while you're waiting in the queue, and put something new in the Circle of Life theater.
Wow.
Or why not just do something new altogether? Have you seen that movie in a while? No, it looks bad.
It does look bad, but I kind of like it. It has that charm.
It's like you're in a movie theater, like in your hometown mall in the mid-90s. It's just that.
Well, then it is better than the Soarin' queue as it is right now.
Oh, I remember when they opened Soarin', I think I went the year after, and there was the whole thing about how it was a new kind of queue. And this was even before the sensors and the games and all. It was just the whole idea, you're not in a turnstile going back and forth and back and forth. Or what do they call them? A switchback. You're not doing the cattle herding thing. You're just standing there in this. I was like, this is worse than going around in a...
I am the type of person that I would rather have the cow herding mentality, because at least I'm moving.
Yeah, there's
with
progress.
With Soren, you just stand there for 10 minutes, and then you move 3 feet, and you stand there for 10 minutes, and you move three... Yeah, no, at least moving, I feel like I'm going somewhere.
Don't hold me to this, but I think I can safely say I will never, ever again ride that attraction unless I have FastPass.
Oh, I don't. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So that's Epcot. Let's move over to the big one, where lots of stuff has been happening lately, and we've reported on quite a bit of it here on this podcast, like the hat going away. I'm talking about Hollywood Studios, by the way. The hat going away, American Idol going away, Backlot Tour going away, Frozen moving all over the place. So let's talk about what's going on over by American Idol, maybe back by Backlot Tour. Why are some of these things going away? What do you guys think? There have been rumors about a Star Wars land, a Pixar Place expansion, Cars Land, a replica of Cars Land coming.
For listeners that want a little more, episode one, we talk about a lot of these rumors and when the Backlot Tour was closed and some of those things. It's a good thing, but the more we think about it, the more I think about it, and the more I read about it in doing research for this episode, the more I'm convinced that they are doing a massive overhaul of the entire park. Not just one expansion or the other, but just a whole California Adventure style, shut down 3/4 of the park and just completely overhaul it. Because I didn't even put these things together, but after Cars Land was completed and was proven to be a success at California Adventure, they sent Disneyland president George Kalogridis to Florida, right? So he's the president of the Walt Disney World Resort, and he's been kind of spotted in some of these high-up spottings that have been at Hollywood Studios around Toy Story and stuff. So something big is happening on the scale of Cars Land, for sure.
But one thing I saw was a rumor about another Toy Story attraction. Did you all see that?
No.
Attraction?
Yes. It was like a Woody's Roundup kind of attraction. Wasn't that right?
Oh, that's right. A la Luigi's Flying Tires. No. Not Luigi's Flying Tires. Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
Junkyard Jamboree. And I thought, there's no way they would put it in another Toy Story attraction. But with the announcement of Toy Story 4 coming, it would kind of make sense. An expansion of Toy Story wouldn't make sense there.
I didn't even put that together. What if they said, listen, we're thinking about putting another Toy Story attraction in. Can you guys get to work on another movie so at least it's relevant?
I mean, because you got the Caligridis and Lasseter all there together, you know.
Wow.
Anything's possible. Here's the thing, and this is where it becomes hard with these rumors for me to separate, like when you ask, what do you think this is going to happen? Do you think this is true? Because it's hard for me to separate what I want to happen,
right,
what I think should happen, with what I think is happening. It seems logical and pretty pro quo for Disney to pro quo. Is that the word? No. It seems
apropos
for Disney to go ahead and just slap a clone of Cars Land into the Hollywood Studios. I hope they are not doing that. I hope they're doing maybe parts of it and just a massive Pixar place expansion with a Monsters, Inc. ride or a Ratatouille ride or a Toy Story attraction of some kind and just overhauling that whole backlot area that they've just shut down.
That's what I want. Instead of having a Cars Land, I want a Cars attraction, but I also want it to be like in the midst of a bunch of other Pixar attractions.
Yeah.
So I want to walk in and see Toy Story Mania. I want to see maybe Radiator Springs or something like it. I'd love to see a Ratatouille restaurant. For the longest time, they've had the rumor floating out there about a Monsters, Inc. coaster, which would be another great addition to Hollywood Studios, themed to the Doors in the first one. That would be awesome to feel like Pixar Place is actually a full representation of the movies.
Yeah.
Well, if they're not doing this is another rumor, but if they are overhauling the whole park, there's been speculation about them changing the name and the feel away from a Hollywood Studios thing to like a Hollywood Adventure, Disney's Hollywood Adventure or Adventures. Well, you still have that kind of aspect to it. You have the Pixar place. It looks like a Pixar studio.
Exactly.
It looks like the entrance to there. What if it was like you're kind of jumping off their drawing board into their films and their movies? That'd be terrific.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a celebration of movies, which is what Meg Crofton said when they announced the change to Hollywood Studios, just a celebration of movies. And if you change it to Hollywood Adventure, it can still be a celebration of movies. And you don't have to have some elaborate story, you know, of if you move from Cars Land over to the world of Monstropolis through time travel or whatever. I don't know. You don't have to have some elaborate thing.
It can just be
a celebration of Pixar films. Yeah, I personally don't want all Cars Land or all Toy Story. But like you said, kind of celebration of all those things.
Imagine going in, having like the Up House and going inside the Up House, but instead of an attraction, using the Up House as a character meet and greet spot where you can go into the different rooms and maybe you meet Carl and Doug, and then in another room you can meet Remy and, you know, that kind of thing. You have the different characters in there. I just think that would be a fun thing and a great picture op outside as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Pixar playground. Like, yeah.
just like a big mashup of all Pixar films and areas, you know. Kind of like how you picture, like Roger Rabbit gave that idea of like all the cartoons living together in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's what I want to picture, is all these Pixar movies and characters living together.
If there's one place where it would make sense just to have a hodgepodge mashup of everything, a Pixar place would be that.
Yeah, I mean, they've already put so much money just the last few years of really expanding that part and adding, like, the Toy Story stuff with the Scrabble board and the hanging monkeys and all that stuff. So, yeah. Okay, well, let's move to the other side of the park. Well, not the other side, but where Echo Lake is, Sounds Dangerous and all that stuff. Is a Star Wars Land coming? Is something else coming? Is Star Wars coming at all to Disney World? I mean, it's been several years since they purchased Star Wars, and really we haven't heard much in the way of parks.
I think they would be foolish not to. because Star Wars still is such a profitable, successful franchise. Even with the prequels that nobody seems to like, it's still popular. I mean, and they still have the television series that is popular with younger kids. The older people still love the original films. They would definitely be losing money if they did not expand that area.
Yeah, and doing kind of researching for this, I was just kind of searching, and I found an official, a Huffington Post article entitled Star Wars Expansion Coming to Disney Theme Parks from August of 2014 of this year. And that's just simply when Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, said, and I quote, that they are developing designs for a far greater Star Wars presence in the park. And when you've got Universal, you know, they keep upping the ante and increasing the challenge of making immersive theme park environments. You got to think that Disney's got to fight back with something equally as powerful as Harry Potter, if not more so. And Star Wars is already in their pocket. Why not go for it?
Mm-hmm. And I don't like to put gender things to shows and movies and stuff, because I think they can be enjoyed by boys and girls. But Star Wars definitely leans more towards the boys, appealing to boys, than, you know, Frozen and those kind of things do. So Disney has always kind of struggled, because they've been known as the princess company for so long, that if they have Star Wars, that's really going to draw the young boys out to the park.
Yeah.
It already does. You go to the little show that they have, the Jedi show, and that's, at least every time I've seen it, it's pretty full. So,
well, I'm going to give a shout out to another podcast here. I hope that's okay. But Mouse Chat, who we like to listen to, they had Jim Hill on about a year ago. And now he was giving some rumors that he was 100% confident about. And I don't know how I feel about that, because we still haven't heard anything about him. But he was saying, yeah, they're planning on moving that Jedi Training Academy inside where Sounds Dangerous is. And then they're going to take the area by Star Tours and do some sort of virtual star speed bike. What are those things called? You know, I'm talking about the
pod
speed
racers.
No.
In Return of the Jedi.
Exactly. The speed bikes they ride that hover above the ground.
Yeah. Hover bikes.
Anyway, some sort of virtual ride related to that. And like I said, he was like, yes, this is happening.
He also said there would be an X-Wing spinner, which I hope to God that there's not an X-Wing spinner. How stupid would that be in the middle of a massive
Although Hollywood
expansion.
Studios doesn't have any spinners. So.
And full disclosure, Jim Hill has been wrong on many things before as well.
Oh, absolutely. But it does seem like a logical place to put more Star Wars stuff, because Star Tours is already there and everything around it is dead
and everything
empty.
That's what I was going to say. Over there, it's like a graveyard.
It is.
I mean, I like Echo Lake. That's one of my a small thing after all over there, which we didn't do. But there it is. Echo Lake and the dinosaur. What's the name? The
Gertie,
the ice cream place. And the only thing that gets any business over there is the Primetime, 50s Primetime Cafe, gets a lot of traffic. Other than that, it's like a nursing home over there.
It kind of smells like one, too. Gertie needs to be relocated. I don't want to see Gertie demolished, because that's an important part of film history.
They could just make her into one of the, one of the Frank Oz creations from Star Wars, just have her sticking out of a tree somewhere.
No, it needs to be Gertie. She needs to just be Gertie. How many times can I say Gertie? Gertie, Gertie, Gertie.
Gertie, Gertie, Gertie.
It's like the Swedish Chef.
Yeah. So all this brings great promise for an otherwise ailing park, at least in my book. It's down on the bottom of my list for, like, have to do when I'm at Disney World.
Well, probably a year ago, I would have had very specific ideas of what I want to happen. At this point, something just needs to happen. That, like, they're closing things left and right, and it's... I know Animal Kingdom is less attended than Hollywood Studios and has been since it opened, but I'm kind of surprised at this point that it still is.
They're pruning, and pruning looks and feels painful, but it makes way for more growth.
Ooh, let's hope that's what's happening.
That's
definitely what's happening. The rumor isn't about is something happening. Something's definitely happening. It's just what, and will it be in phases? Will it be just Star Wars, just Pixar, both, and when, and all those questions. But that's why it's fun to be a Disney fan.
Exactly. You can speculate about all sorts of stuff.
If you could add something else besides Pixar or Star Wars into Hollywood Studios, what would you add?
When you say Star Wars, are we talking about Lucas properties altogether? Because
No, just Star Wars.
I would love Indiana Jones attraction of any kind. Not the stunt show, and not necessarily the Disneyland thing, the dinosaur makeover thing. I'm talking about just an Indiana Jones.
That's like Indiana, a Captain EO Indiana Jones mash. Yeah. Indiana Jackson.
Yeah, that would be great. Let's do that. No, just an attraction of any kind would be great for Indiana Jones.
What about a Muppets Land or expansion?
I just don't see that being very
popular.
The Muppets are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. The Muppets are wonderful. And
They're timeless. Yes.
But every 10 or 15 years, they have to have a shot to be made relevant again. That's my problem with them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think having the one attraction is enough. Because, I mean, kids today just, unfortunately, just don't really know.
And that attraction could use a lot of work, which we talked about, but I don't know how a land or a whole attraction would go for them.
See, I've always thought, jumping on the Muppets, I remember that there was a rumor about the Great Muppet Movie Ride, and I always thought that would be interesting, where they would have the Muppets reenacting famous movie scenes, and you went through.
No, that would be cute. Are we talking about in place of the Great Movie Ride?
No, in addition.
Like, own little like ripoff over there in Muppet Land.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what the Muppets do best. They parody and things, so that would make sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my answer to that question would be something Marvel, because Marvel has yet to make an appearance at Walt Disney World, and I don't want them to come to Magic Kingdom or Epcot. Mm-hmm. I guess they're kind of in Epcot with the Iron Man thing and Inventions. But anyway, but of all the parks, for sure, put them in Hollywood Studios.
I would think Guardians of the Galaxy, Big Hero 6, which are huge right now, would fit in great in Epcot's future world as their own little... Because they both take place in the future. Well, not Guardians of the Galaxy so much, but Big Hero 6. You know, give that kind of a futuristic... I don't know, they make science fun kind of a thing.
Okay, but still, my vote is Hollywood Studios.
Okay, it's science fiction, though. It's science fiction.
Yeah.
Okay, Hollywood Studios.
Okay, Hollywood Studios.
If nothing else, just because that park needs something.
But hey, look, what is the contract they got? What's the deal? How long do they have to wait since they bought Marvel before they can incorporate it in Florida because of Universal?
Well,
isn't there like a year period, like 10 years, 5 years?
I thought something? Some Marvel things they can do at any time, but certain properties like Spider-Man, X-Men, things like
Hulk,
they can't touch. The Hulk.
Who is one of the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
And they got that.
Well, they've already put in the two main characters from Guardians of the Galaxy. They met.
They had
a meet and greet at Hollywood Studios.
I saw that.
It's probably not awkward for anybody else that, you know, that isn't a Disney fan and doesn't know anything about what we're talking about, but it would be really awkward. I think it seems awkward that Universal still has the Marvel superhero island now that Disney owns it. It's kind of like crap. Why did you build that?
All right, well, before we go, I want to talk about one more rumor, and I'm going to kind of combine two into one. But, I mean, there's always talk about a fifth gate or a fifth park opening. I mean, probably ever since Animal Kingdom became the fourth park, there was talk of a fifth park.
Yeah.
And there are two rumors now that have kind of started to talk up again. One is a place called Flamingo Crossings, which is not too far from the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex inside Walt Disney World. And someone has already added two hotels, like name brand hotels. And he just said he's going to be building seven more things like Marriott and Town Place Suites over the next couple of years. So there's some speculation that why would you be building that many hotels in a kind of remote area of the park, of the resort, if you weren't going to build another park over there. And then more recently, just last week, Disney World purchased 3,000 acres of wetland. They spent $11.5 million, and they said they were going to preserve it because there are a bunch of laws about wetlands and stuff. But they applied to the EPA to be able to develop 350 of those acres, not necessarily in one spot, but non-contiguous acres, over the next 20 years. So there's talk that, are they going to just expand each park, like spread out those 350 acres, or take all of it and build a fifth gate?
Because the way tax laws work in Florida, if you have land that is set aside for conservation, that land cannot be developed unless you reassign that to a different land. And so that's what the big speculation is. They bought additional land that is taking away some of their conservation.
So they can build closer to the things they already own.
Yes, yes.
Well, this is one of those times where it was hard for me to distinguish between what I think makes sense and what I want to happen and what I think is, I don't know. Let's just say it this way. Whether I'm biased or not, I don't think they're building a fifth gate. It just doesn't make sense that they're spending all this money to make an expansion to Animal Kingdom. Hollywood Studios obviously needs overhaul. Epcot needs some serious work in Future World for them to go ahead and when you got Animal Kingdom screaming for attractions to try to open a fifth theme park, which no doubt will take 20 years to get three attractions. So it just doesn't make any sense. Some of the news I read about it talks about the two Marriott resorts and then others going into this area. But it makes it pretty clear, at least according to them, that it seems like it's going to be just a general residential commercial center for cast members and Florida residents. Kind of like a Downtown Disney, except not Disney-fied. It's going to be just other developers. And Disney World is not going to have non-Disney resort hotels that close to a new theme park.
Good point.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
The ones that are inside the resort now are all sequestered over there near Downtown Disney in their own little area. So I don't think they're going to have like seven non-Disney brand resort hotels that close to a new theme park. It's not going to happen.
I agree. Well, a fifth gate at this point is almost irresponsible just with the state their other parks are in.
Well, you say that, but on the other hand, if I can play the devil's advocate, if you have expansions
right now... Or are you
right
being
now,
for real?
No, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I don't think they're doing a fifth gate either. But if you have an expansion to Animal Kingdom, which is supposed to open in what, 2016?
17.
And you're having an... Okay, let's just say the work in Hollywood Studios opens 2017, 2018. Let's just give them a few years of padded time. Okay, but if you're planning a fifth gate that can be opened, then now you're planning 6 or 7 years out. Then, you have your openings in 2017, and that's a big to-do, and then you have a little bit of downtime, and then you have another opening in 2019, 2020 of a fifth gate. You know, that's some pretty steady planning over the next 10 years.
Well, and some of the speculation has centered around a Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary coming in 2021. But it sounds, fifth gate, that's the word. It seems irresponsible and illogical seeing how much, and listen, we all love Disney World, and we're coming at it from frequent visitors' eyes, and we see things that need work and need updating because we've been so much. So that's what we're saying. There's a lot more things that need tender, loving care before they start trying to think about a whole new park, which itself will require attention for decades to come.
Right, because Jeremy, you said 2016 Disney Springs, 2017 Avatar, but we've already talked about some things that could be 2019, 2020, like Star Wars Land or Pixar Place expansion. And then beyond that, Future World needs a lot of TLC. So those could be the things they have planning for 2020 and 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking from a marketing standpoint. A redo of Future World and Epcot is not going to be as commercially appealing to the mass public as a brand new park.
Well, of course.
And if you're going to do it big for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, I can see them doing a big thing about 50 years of magic and now a fifth park to celebrate that. Now, my biggest question is, let's just assume it's going to happen. What do you theme it around? Because, pretty much everything that could be what we think of as theme park centered, the animal theme, the Hollywood theme, the
science,
futuristic World's Fair theme. What are you going to do it as,
Frozen.
Disney Princess. They could do a princess and pirate park.
This is armchair imagineering once again.
Yeah,
but
go for it.
What if they took – now, I think I read somewhere that all this land that they have purchased – now, what you just said threw me off a little bit about them purchase – they've basically just purchased the acreage. They haven't purchased a single plot of land, right? They're able to move it around to fit their needs.
Right. 350 acres. They can add 10 to one park, 60 to another park, whatever.
So I don't know how many acres Animal Kingdom is, but a source
it's
I was reading.
It's about 500 is what I read.
Yeah, they were saying that some of this new property was comparable to Animal Kingdom, which was raising speculation about a park. I was thinking, what if this is completely like blue sky? What if for the 50th anniversary, they open like an entire resort community that's centered on Walt's original idea for Epcot, like a Progress Land style resort, a place where people can, like a DVC area. They've got restaurants and shops and a place people can actually live. I don't know. That'd be really cool for a 50th anniversary. Not that I could ever go there.
I was about to say, it'd be really cool for the people who could afford it.
A big high rise, you know, like you see in the Tomorrowland Transit Authority diorama.
Wasn't that kind of the thought, at least initially, for what Celebration was?
Yeah, but it was like an actual neighborhood. I mean one, like an actual...
like a resort.
Let's follow the plans that Walt left and make that big sky tower and the monorails coming out of it and the little courtyards and... you know, places like that, which is kind of a resort, kind of a place where people can live, shops and everything else.
Well, only time will tell.
Yeah, indeed. And the rumor mill keeps churning.
Let's start a rumor before we go.
Okay.
I heard that Disney is going to retheme the stunt show to Fast and Furious 7, or whatever that movie is, the franchise.
Hey, if they change that show in any way, I'll probably go see it at least once just to see if it's better.
No, I will never step foot in that theater again.
In that theater.
Except to burn it down.
They would have to have Walt Disney's frozen head in that theater for me to go back.
All right, well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening this week. If you have any thoughts on these rumors and what you'd like to see happen, let us know over at comments@madchatters.net or on our website, madchatters.net. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @mad_chatters. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes if you haven't. We appreciate those so much for those who already reviewed us. And I think that's it. So please come back next week and we will see you then. Before that, Matt, you heard from a listener, and she gave us a trip report, so I'm going to send it over to you and let you be our official email reader. So take it away.
Okay. I did not have that pulled up. I'm sorry. Why does it take us so long to load our page? Hold on. Good Lord. Okay. I got it pulled up. Do you want me – so you want me to head this up? So
yeah,
I'm going to say all that right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I've just said, take it away, Matt.
Samasasara. Okay. Well, we got an email this week, actually a post from, should I just say the email?
Yeah.
We got an email this week from Beth, who just got back from a short trip to Walt Disney World. And she says, hey guys, Jeremy asked if I would, nope, I'm not going to read that.
Take four.
Okay, here we go. Unique New York.
What's that from?
It's like enunciation tools.
Unique New York. I bought a hippopotamus.
Mommy made me mash my M&Ms.
Okay, here we go. Well, I got an email this week from sorry, this is so hard.
It does not have to be perfect. Just talk to us like we're humans.
I know, but I'm thinking like...
did you swallow your poo-poo
from a girl named Beth.
A listener. Listener.
Yeah. Should I say her name?
A wee little girl named Beth.
Yeah, say listener Beth. We got an email this week from listener Beth.
Okay. We got an email this week from a listener named Beth who sent us a little trip report, but she also had a few questions for us.
Well, let's answer those, shall we?
I'm so confused. I'm sorry.